good afternoon, and welcome to What's Up, Noop Radio Edition. And here we are. Let me tell you about the week that we have ahead here. We will start a little backwards, and we'll move forward. Today, here on the program, we're going to be joined by Ruth Taylor, who is the Executive Director of Newport Historical Society. Our friends at Newport Film pointed out that I've been having a lot of executive directors and founders and owners on, so I went with that theme this week. And if you missed any of our podcasts last week, they are available to listen to on WADK.com as well as on WhatsUpNoop.com. And on Friday, we were joined by Gunther Bewalman, founder of the Newport Car Museum, and lots of great interviews last week, so check out all of the podcasts. So moving on this week with the executive director theme or founder theme, today we're going to have Ruth Taylor, Executive Director of Newport Historical Society, and I hope what we do with all of these is, seeing that we're still in January, is find out what's happening at these organizations, how last year was, what's happening in this upcoming year, because there are so many organizations and so much to keep up with, so we're going to try to find out what's happening everywhere. Tomorrow, Rebecca Bertrand, who is the Executive Director of Newport Film, will join us. On Wednesday, we're going to have Jody Giddings. She is the founder of Wild Newport, brand new, just announced on Friday. It's the new wildlife rehabilitation organization on Aquidneck Island serving Newport, Middletown, and Portsmouth. From reading the story, from reading her announcement, is animals used to have to be brought to Narragansett, and now her organization will be running it out of a farm in Middletown. So we'll hear from her on Wednesday. On Thursday, Timmy Tuohy is our co-host. We'll be joined by Brad Shear, Executive Director of Potter League for Animals. We also have some of our local residents from Newport and Newport County. Those that are heading, lucky enough or silly enough, to head out to Minnesota for the Super Bowl will be calling in and checking in with us from Minnesota or from here right in Rhode Island before they head out that way. We have a couple people lined up to join us on Thursday afternoon. And then on Friday, I will be out. We'll be playing best of, if there's such a thing, of this program, of this radio show. So Friday I'll be out of town, so we'll come up with something on Friday. So again, we have Newport Historical Society here on this Monday, Newport Film on Tuesday. We got Wild Newport, which sounds like it could be a lot of things on Wednesday. On Thursday, Timmy Tuohy, Potter League for Animals, and all of those local folks that are heading out to the Super Bowl to see the Patriots and Eagles on Sunday. And then on Friday, we will do some kind of best of. But joining us today here on the program is Ruth Taylor, and she is the Executive Director of Newport Historical Society. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And that is you jumped on the opportunity to come on last minute today, so I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And I thought it was a good time of the year, even though we were just talking about it, and there really is no slow time of the year. It's not like anybody's sitting at their desk hoping that something comes up. Everybody's running around. There are so many organizations on this island, in this community, and I thought it would be a good time of the year to check in with everybody and find out kind of what 2018 is looking forward to and remind people about these organizations that exist here in Newport. One of the things that I think that Newport Historical Society, as well as Preservation Society of Newport and Newport Restoration Foundation, and I'm sure there's one or two other ones, is that they all kind of get thrown in the same pot, and I think sometimes people get confused at who does what or who owns what.
I think it's Newport's blessing and its curse that we have a huge number of organizations devoted to the history of the community. And, of course, that reflects our passion and our interest in that history, so that part's great. But there can be both confusion and competition among the organizations. So the Redwood Library also.
That's another one, yep.
You know, we are all caring about the history. We're all organizing programs and lectures. And I do find that the more that we work together, I think the better it is for everyone.
Yes, and I've noticed from following your organization now for several years, but also from looking at your website, collaboration is key to a lot of what Newport Historical Society does.
It absolutely is true. We've been collaborating with so many of the organizations in town for quite some time, and we do also do a lot of collaborative work with the Rhode Island Historical Society. And here's something that most people don't know. The Rhode Island Historical Society was founded, I think, in the 1830s, and the Newport Historical Society was part of the statewide.
Okay.
And in 1853, the Newport County folks decided that Providence was, you know, too far. So they took the Newport collections down and established what they called the Southern Cabinet of the Rhode Island Historical Society, and ultimately there was a separation. So there's a lot of affinity between the two organizations, and it's funny that such a small state makes so many distinctions between its geographic areas.
It is quite funny seeing that there are organizations that do cover the entire state, and then there are organizations in other states that cover 10 times the
yes.
size. But we are in New England, and there is so much more history and so many
yes.
things that happened first in our area. So, I mean, let's simplify. You can either give me the official description, or you can give me the elevator speech of, you know, what should people remember, what people should know about Newport Historical Society? What is it doing day in and day out here in our community?
Sure. I think the first really distinguishing feature for the Newport Historical Society is that our activities and our collections encompass basically 5 centuries of Newport history. We have a huge umbrella over the timeline from before contact with the Europeans to today. And we do that work in a variety of ways. We're basically a public history organization. So what that means to us is we want to take good history scholarship and package it and translate it for the public. So, of course, we have our Museum of Newport History. We do walking tours. We do lectures. We do all kinds of educational programs. But at the same time, we're fostering good scholarship based on our collections, which are huge and really important.
And so, you know, when people look at property, it's funny because we're talking about different organizations, and many people may have been in a Newport Historical Society property but never knew it was owned by Newport Historical
Absolutely.
Society.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. So we have 5 historic properties in town that we either own or manage. We have the Brick Market building that our museum and shop is in, and that is owned by the city, but we are the managers of it. The Colony House on the other end of Washington Square is owned by the state, but we are the local stewards and the people who operate the building. And then we own the Great Friends Meeting House, which is, of course, the big white building you see as you're coming in or leaving town. The Wanton Lyman Hazard House, the red old red house on Broadway, which is Newport's oldest intact residential structure, built in 1696.
Wow.
Yeah, and we know that for sure because we did dendrochronology, and we know those trees were cut in 1695.
All right.
And then the Seventh-day Baptist Meeting House, which is attached to our building on Turo Street, which is a 1730 meeting house.
So that's interesting because I didn't know all of those properties. Again, it gets confused, not on purpose, but just there's a lot to keep up with, and people don't focus on what organizations. The Restoration Foundation has plaques on so
everything,
many homes,
yes.
Yeah, and everything. So a lot of history there. Of course, what, Great Friends Meeting House is 1699.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done.
I got it. I got it. Before we go to our first break, let's talk about Turo Street. That is where Newport Historical Society is located. And one of the things I always wonder when I walk by, scooter by, drive by, is am I supposed to go in that building?
Yeah, so that building is open to the public, but the services to the public are kind of limited. You can look at the Seventh-day Baptist Meeting House. We have some of the objects from our collection on display in the lobby gallery there, so you can certainly walk right in. But to come in and do research in the collections, which is what most people are doing when they come there, you need an appointment.
Okay.
So it's not open to the public, but it's not our main sort of walk right in facility. That would be the museum.
Excellent. We'll talk about that is a great segue. We'll talk more about what's happening at the museum over at Brick Marketplace when we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition. We are chatting about Newport Historical Society online, newporthistory.org. We'll keep the conversation going when we come back here.
For those who heat their home or business with oil and who want the best price, guaranteed, it's New England Energy Corporation, owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating, serving all of Aquidneck Island. New England Energy Corporation applies the highest standards in quality service. They specialize in boiler replacements, oil tank replacements, burner cleaning, new heating systems, and 24/7 emergency service. Locally owned and operated by Gary Travers. Call today for their burner boiler specials. New England Energy Corporation, great service, lowest priced oil, and no minimums on oil deliveries. Call today, 683-0370. That's 683-0370. New England Energy Corporation, owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating. Cook up a new kitchen design with Medallion Cabinetry from Riverhead Building Supply. Their team of designers can help you create a space that is beautiful as well as functional with all the storage you need. Choose Medallion Cabinetry for the kitchen, bath, or any room in your home in a style to fit your taste and budget. From ideas to installation, a Riverhead Building Supply design professional will help you every step of the way. Visit a showroom today in North Kingstown or Middletown at Riverhead Building Supply.
And welcome back to What's Up Noop Radio Edition. And just a side note quickly, on Wednesday, adding to our schedule, we'll have Jody Giddings, founder of Wild Newport, but we'll also be joined by Terry Kortrevrand, who announced today she will be running in District 72, Portsmouth, Middletown. She'll be running against incumbent Kenneth Mendonca, who is a Republican. So she'll join us on Wednesday. So a jam-packed week, and we'll hear all about why she's running. She's running as a Democrat. She is the District 72 is Portsmouth Middletown, and she is the Portsmouth School Committee Chair as well. So we'll hear all about why she's running and what she hopes to do in just a few days here. So that's coming up. Of course, today we were talking about Newport Historical Society. Ruth Taylor is here today, and she is joining us to tell us all about what is going on. We were just talking about their location over on Toro Street. And who does make appointments to do some research at Newport Historical Society's headquarters?
Almost anyone you can think of. You know, there's a sort of a myth out there that the public isn't that interested in history. I think we give the lie to that every day.
I love it.
So if you're doing your genealogy, if you're just a person doing your genealogy and you think you might have some ancestors in Newport, you might come and do research with us. If you just bought a house here and you want to know who lived in it before you and what the history was when it was built, you might come and do some research for us. Obviously, practicing historians in academia are there all the time from all over the world. But also high school kids and middle school kids who are doing reports come. And one of the things we really pride ourselves on is we will show our, you know, what we call primary resources, our collections, to anyone.
That's
you don't
great.
Have to be a graduate school student. You don't have to be a college professor. You can be a high school student and come in and look at the original town records.
That's awesome. So we mentioned that. Make an appointment. So you have to visit NewportHistory.org. I'm sure how to make an appointment is right there if you want to head over there. Don't just show up, please. And then we're kind of going through the properties first before we dive into some other events and great things happening. But we mentioned Brick Museum and Marketplace. Of course, everybody sees the store because it's floor level. What else is going on over there?
Right. So the first floor is our museum shop, which can be educational itself. But the staff there are also almost serve as a like cultural visitor center for Newport. So if you want to take a walking tour, if you want to tour one of our other properties, if you need to know how to get tickets to the mansions, they can answer all of those questions, even though, you know, even about organizations that are not us. And then on the second floor is our Museum of Newport History, and that's about 400 years of Newport's history in a pretty small space. And it's a great introductory experience if you're here and you don't really know anything about Newport's history. And then we have a series of where to go from here forms that you can take if you discover you were interested in Newport's African-American history or its maritime history. We'll point you
That's great.
The other resources in town.
And I know from writing about your events, a lot of the walking tours and a lot of the tours and events start right from there.
Yes, the walking tours start from there, and the site tours, if you want to visit the Great Friends Meeting House or the Juan Lyman Hazard House, those tours start at the museum as well.
And we could probably hit the other properties in one fell swoop here of when they are open to the public or when people can get inside of them and see them. I know, for example, or I think, for example, that you can't just go over to Great Friends Meeting House right now and walk in, or some of the other ones. So when are those other three properties, I guess, open to the public?
So they have general open hours during the summer, in some cases just on the weekends, in some cases every afternoon. And that schedule gets published, and it will be at the museum as soon as it comes out for the coming season. But you can always walk into the museum and say, gee, I really need to see inside the Colony House. And if it's at all possible, we will arrange for a guide to take you in, and we don't charge very much for that. It's something like $5 or $8.
Okay. So three great properties, and of course they're really busy during certain events and time of the year, and you see lots of events happening over on the lawn of Great Friends Meeting House. Some coming to mind right now is, I know there's you rent the land to them, but fifth annual Newport Craft Beer Festival will
yes.
be taking place there. And there was Live Newport or Newport Live, a music festival that was held out there.
That's also happening again this year.
Yes.
And the Sankofa organization is doing another celebration of African-American culture, I think, in June this year.
So it's the host of several events that
yep.
aren't associated with you, but it's a great resource for the community to have a lawn because there's not that much space to host events.
Yeah, I think it's unusual for a city, even a small city like this, to have such a big green space. It's almost like Central Park. Right in the middle, and obviously we need to charge for the space because we need to keep up the space, but we're really excited that the community is starting to take use of it.
And I guess quickly, or as much time as you want, just how did these properties fall under Newport Historical Society's? Were they purchased? I know some of them you just manage, but how did it all come about?
In a variety of ways since, the early 20th century, basically. The Historical Society used to be a place for people to donate historical properties that they didn't know what to do with, and that happened quite a bit. We had windmills and forts that we ended up divesting ourselves of. The Great Friends Meeting House was donated to us by the Wright family with, in fact, an endowment for
okay.
its maintenance. So that was a pretty deliberate museum-y kind of donation. The Juan Lyman Hazard House, I think, we bought in the 1920s. So this has been a long history of acquiring properties. We would not be tremendously interested in having any more.
I was going to ask, is it in the mission anywhere where if a property came up, or obviously every situation is so different, but, is Newport Historical Society still looking to add more to its lineup?
Gee, I think not. I mean, I think we would want to participate in saving an important property if there wasn't another alternative. But we're a relatively small organization. We just have a little bit over $1 million budget. So to have five historic properties under our care is a lot.
Luckily, they're all within short walking distance of each other.
Yes, I keep saying Newport is our campus.
That's it. They're a small circle.
Yes,
right here
Newport.
In Washington Square. So it's
we do have a property in Middletown as well, Revolutionary War era French
okay.
Redoubt.
All right.
A fort.
All right.
And it doesn't require a lot of attention. It doesn't get a lot of visitation, but that's the sixth of the properties.
All right. Actually, being on the board of Fort Adams, two springs ago, we cleaned out and did a redoubt over by the Eisenhower House
mm-hmm.
With the help of many great volunteers from the Navy base as well as some other organizations. So we just cleared one out there, and to speak to that it doesn't get much visitation. Forts unfortunately aren't for everybody, and they're not sexy and shiny and the coolest things to visit for everybody. So it does take a special person that is into that type of history to visit those. And I'm sure each of the properties you have, people are interested in them for different reasons.
Yeah, it is interesting. But we did find, and I will admit that this survey is a little old, but we surveyed our visitors to the museum, I want to say about 6-7 years ago. And at the time, the thing that they wanted to know more about that they didn't always know where to go was the Revolutionary War history. So I feel that there's some room for growth there for us and our partners.
Excellent. Lots of events. I mean, I'm looking at your website here, newporthistory.org, and I know you just there's lots of tours.
Yep.
There's tours and events. What other things are we throwing in there that are getting the community and people that are interested in history engaged?
The best thing that we're doing right now is our version of costumed interpretation, which is very different from what you might have seen somewhere else. We are using a core of, I think there are about 75 or 80 people who research an area of the past, mostly the Revolutionary War era and the build-up to it, 18th century. They costume themselves, they research their era, and they are able to recreate events for us in the most evocative way. And for me, one of the highlights of my summer is when we do our large-scale recreation of historical events that happened in Newport in August, and watching visitors to Washington Square, you know, a family sort of coming around the corner and seeing colonial Newport laid out in front of them, the look of surprise and delight. This is really engaging history. So if you look at our calendar, a lot of our events are making use of that ability to sort of recreate colonial Newport for a moment.
I'm looking at the next event up here on the upcoming events, and it's Meet an 18th Century Doctor, a Living History Talk with Dr. Hunter on February 15th. And, you know, it's speaking to that history, and I'm sure it's going to be super interesting.
It's a great example. Dr. Hunter gave what might have been the first medical lecture in the Colony House. And it's been a real interest of mine to try to recreate that in some fashion for a long time. But we recently engaged with an individual who is interested in 18th century medicine and who has done a lot of research and who is now preparing himself to, in part, recreate this lecture. And we do something called first-person light. So he won't be Dr. Hunter. He will be himself in costume and makes him able to answer questions and not be pretending to be someone else.
Yeah, that would be tough to do because, obviously, there is probably some history on it, but not how he would answer every question.
Exactly, exactly.
And you don't want to be fake news.
Yeah, we just find this works for us with audiences. You know, they want to be able to say, so what would you do when you, and not have the person say, what do you mean, what would I,
yeah.
You know. They want to be able to engage as themselves.
All right. What are the other big events that most people know you by or most people might recognize?
Well, if you don't mind, here's something that a lot of people don't know about, and I wish they would. This is our second year of doing an essay contest for high school students. It's for high school sophomores. And we take the winners to New York to see the musical Hamilton.
Big deal.
It is a really big deal. Last
you can't get those tickets.
No, you cannot. And the prompt for the essay is really interesting, too. We're asking young people to sort of be like Hamilton. Look at your world, your neighborhood, your environment, and ask yourself, what's happening here that could change the world? Or what's happening here that should change in a way that could change the world? We got amazing applicants last year from all over the state. This is a statewide contest. But I got to say, Newport, you are underrepresented.
Really?
And we want more. We want some local kids.
So when we come back, we'll talk more about how much longer people have to get their essay to you. And also, if you've gotten some big endorsement from across the state. And we'll talk about what some of those answers might look like. And we'll do that when we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition. Ruth Taylor joins us today from Newport Historical Society.
Looking to grow your business or expand your network? If so, the Southern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce is the place for you. We are a member-based organization whose purpose is to grow businesses within our community. Located in Wakefield, Rhode Island, we offer a range of services such as continuing education, networking opportunities, state and local advocacy, referrals, and so much more. Membership is only $260 annually, and we offer flexible payment plans that can fit any budget. To learn more, visit our website at srichamber.com. We look forward to working with you.
Corrigan Financial realizes the need for financial planning services has never been greater, due in part to essential concerns such as longer life expectancies, spending demands, and income tax and estate planning. Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan and that all financial decisions should be made within the context of that planning framework. Currently, Corrigan Financial works with over 950 families, manages over $600 million of investment assets, and prepares income tax returns for nearly all their clients. Corgan Financial's knowledgeable staff includes 11 CPAs, many with advanced degrees and financial planning specific designations. These people, along with considerable investments in systems and technology, have helped keep Corrigan Financial at the forefront of the wealth management profession. Corrigan Financial, for more than 25 years, helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
When the team at 3G Broadcasting needs a creative way to get our message out in print, we call Helen at Minuteman Press. Minuteman Press in Middletown is Mix 99.3 and WADK's official printer. Business cards, forms, stationery, posters, and even our Broadway Stroll playing cards designed and printed by Helen and her team at Minuteman Press. Visit them at 687 West Main Road, call them at 619-1650, or go to middletown-ri.minutemanpress.com. For more information, Minuteman Press Middletown, the official printer for 3G Broadcasting. Make them yours today.
And welcome back. What's up, New Radio Edition? Ryan Belmore here. Oftentimes, I don't think I say my name enough. Most times, people are like, who is this host of this program? But it is Ryan Belmore, and Ruth Taylor joins us today from Newport Historical Society. We started talking about something that's been out there now for a little while. I feel like we've been writing about it and talking about it, but there's an essay contest. And obviously, I'm not doing a good enough job of spreading the word, or it's not getting to the people that need to apply for it. So, Ruth, tell us about this essay contest. Obviously, tickets, a trip to New York City to see Hamilton is a big deal.
Yeah, so in the build-up to the American Revolution, some of the people who are doing the biggest thinking and writing and participating in the formation of this new nation were actually quite young, teenagers to begin. And that includes some important local Newport folks. Daniel Lyman, who lived in the Wanton-Lyman Hazard House, was in college, 17 or 18, when the war broke out and got involved. So what we want to remind young people of is that they can be actors in making the world a better place, if you believe that the American Revolution made the war a better place, which I do. But so we're asking them to think about that, to think like Hamilton, and write these essays about what's happening now that could change, could be better, could make Rhode Island a better place. We were really excited this year. The governor became aware of the contest, endorsed the contest, and I guess she's going to be doing a little video for us. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But I'm here today to say that's all great. The fact that it's statewide is amazing. I want to see more Newport applicants. I think there's a lot going on in this community. I think there are a lot of vibrant families and really smart kids. So
how old do you have to be?
You have to be a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
10th grade.
So you have to be a sophomore in high school. How much longer do you have to think of this and write it up and get it over to you?
March is the deadline. I'm not sure which day, but it's definitely on our website. And the announcement is only a few weeks later, so it's not a long wait. And then the trip to New York is in May. It's actually been scheduled for May 12th. The tickets are bought. And for parents who might be concerned about putting their high school kids on a bus to go down to New York City, this is a very heavily chaperoned trip. We're keeping an eye on those kids.
Okay, excellent. And it'll be interesting if we can talk maybe down the road and see if we can get any of these students who wrote maybe the winning or whatever it may be,
yes,
to come here on the radio and share their thoughts and ideas.
Yes, and if anyone's interested in reading two winning essays, there are links to them on the website. So if you want to get an idea, you do not have to be a rocket scientist to write these essays. We're judging you on your ideas.
Perfect. which that's for sophomores in high school. But there are some opportunities through the Newport Historical Society if you happen to be in college as well or heading that way.
Yes, absolutely. We have a program of paid visiting fellowships in the summer. They're mostly for graduate students or people who've just graduated from college. But if you're interested in history and you want to explore the public history side of it, or if you want to come do research on Newport's history, applications for that program are on the web now. And again, mostly for students in graduate programs, but we definitely accept people who are seniors in college as well.
So lots of information on Newport Historical Society's website. Of course, I asked you earlier about the biggest events, and it had slipped my mind, but I'm sure it doesn't slip anybody that's is a dealer or is a follower, a shopper, but antiques. And there is quite the antiques event that you, the Newport Historical Society, puts on every year.
Yes, the Newport Antique Show now, this year we're calling it the Newport Show. Still an antique show, but we've expanded the purview a little bit out of the most traditional definition of antique. So you will find some contemporary art. You will find vintage jewelry and really high-end furnishings, as well as traditional furniture, 20th century things. It is an amazing event. It's a traveling museum. The gala, which this year will be Friday, July 27th, is it's a Newport gala, but it's right on the floor of the show. So entertainment built in, whole lot of fun. And then the show will run through the weekend, and it's a $12 or $15 ticket to get in. And it's like visiting a major museum, but the dealers will talk to you. So you have a great learning opportunity. We love it because it's a huge fundraiser. The proceeds are shared between us and the Boys and Girls Club
okay.
of Newport County. So it's Newport's past and Newport's future. And it's also really mission dependent. It's not just another party. It's also an opportunity to get educated about history.
So some big events coming up with
yes.
Newport Historical Society in July and in August.
Yes.
All right. So we'll have to watch your calendar. Of course, there's always tours, as well as just looking at some of the titles of your events here. We talked about Meet an 18th Century Doctor. There is Colonial Career Fair, a
yes.
living history event on February 24th. Hidden Presence, God's Little Acre and Beyond on March 8th. Myth, Memory, and Heritage Symposium on March 22nd. Grappling with Legacy on April 5th. Tons of stuff going on.
Yep, at all levels, for families, for intellectuals. You can engage with us on a lot of levels.
We've talked about attending events as one way for people to get involved with Newport Historical Society. How about memberships or anything like donors? What are some other ways people can support you year-round or ways that they can know about all these events?
Yeah, it's important to know that just attending an event is a way of supporting us. All of our events have some kind of admission, and that money goes to support all of our activities. We do have a membership. It's particularly strong in Newport, and there are a lot of levels of membership. At the highest levels, mostly you're just contributing to us, but you will get a subscription to our scholarly journal, which is a peer-reviewed journal of scholarship on Newport history. You get our newsletter twice a year, which is keeps you up to date on what we're up to and what we've done, and is bright and colorful and lovely. You get reduced, you get discounts at the store and reduced fees for many of our programs, if not all of them. So the membership is a great way to stay in touch as well as support us. We're in touch with people all the time through the member program. And attending the antique show or our fall culinary adventure, our recreated historical meal, attending those events is another great way to support us.
Yes, and there are plenty of ways just with many organizations in town where so many events, so many things to do, sometimes it gets lost, so that's why I'm happy to bring Newport Historical Society on here today. Of course, we talked a little bit about them, but many different types of walking tours that happen throughout the city, and it spans from being themed in October, September, to, I'm looking at one now, seasonal guided walking tours, historic site tours, kind of changes all the way, tour of the months and things like that.
Yeah, we have a couple of standard walking tours that basically introduce you to Newport's history. And then we do these theme tours, these tour of the month specialty tours, and we might bring in outside experts to give those, or sometimes our guides will give them. Every once in a while, I give a tour. Watch the schedule. There, almost anything you're interested in. I mean, one of the great things about Newport's history is you can give a tour on so many topics and still have standing structures and places that relate to that topic.
Are we still discovering Newport's history?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the great things about history is that it isn't static. It isn't all known. You find out new things all the time.
Do you have an idea in your head of what percentage we know about?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good question. I want to say it's probably not more than about 75%.
Really?
Yep.
You think there's 25% out there that's still unknown?
I do. I mean, we found just a few years ago an object which is now down in Washington, D.C., which was the remains of a religious bundle from an enslaved inhabitant of the Wanton Lyman Hazard House under the floorboards. My guess is there are more of them.
In other people's homes,
yep.
They could be. What do you recommend if people do find something in their yard, in their home? Is Newport Historical Society the first people they should call?
Yep.
Or it is.
Absolutely, call us. If we're not the right people, we'll put you through to whoever you should call. But we'll send someone out to come have a look if you found something in your backyard and you think it's important. If you find something, you're renovating your house, you find something under the floorboards. This happens all the time. Often it's a pair of shoes. Bring them in and we'll tell you how old they are, if they're important, what you should do to keep them safe.
And I'm just thinking about if you go in the yachting village and all those old homes that just haven't been moved or there's no property around them, and what could possibly be under those floorboards or somewhere in that house, there's got to be a lot of history just still underground.
Absolutely, and a great example is the feature that was found at the Newport Spring site a little earlier this year, which is a gigantic, oddly shaped cistern, which seems to have been built to capture the spring. And we're involved in helping that group document that. That's going to happen early this spring, too. But when that was announced, I started getting telephone calls from other people who said, I have a gigantic cistern under my house.
Wow.
So we think there are a whole group of them in the area that need to get mapped and looked at. So there you go. There's your 25% right there.
Yeah.
Apparently, early Newporters were doing a lot of waterworks.
Oh, look at that. And, it's just one of those things that just doesn't get talked about enough. And
that's right.
I'm not encouraging people to go start digging up any of their homes or any of their yards. But if you do find something during construction or whatever it may be, call Newport Historical Society.
Absolutely.
Just one of the services that you offer that many people might not think about.
Sure, and we communicate that information up to the state archaeologist and stuff like that, too, or not if you don't want us to.
Yeah, excellent. The website is newporthistory.org. It's the Newport Historical Society. Anything we missed today, Ruth?
Probably, but, come see us.
All right. And go see them. You can find out where to see them on newporthistory.org, all of their events. There's information on the essay contest. There's information on the scholarships. There's information on all of the events, memberships.
We also have a Facebook page. We tweet. We do Instagram. There are a lot of ways to find us online.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. You actually came down. So a lot of times people call in, so I want to thank you for coming down almost across the street from a lot of the properties.
Yes,
we're surrounded by Newport Historical properties here at the radio station. We have the Friends Meeting House behind us and the Lyman, and then everything right around us. So, all right, Ruth, thank you for coming in today.
And, my pleasure.
We will chat with you again soon. We'll be back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Kristen Urbach, Executive Director of the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce. We are a membership-based nonprofit organization that supports businesses to ensure they are equipped with the tools, networking, and promotional opportunities that are necessary to be successful. We provide workshops, events, and networking opportunities on a monthly basis where you will learn from seasoned subject matter experts and network with highly engaged groups of professionals. Why should you join the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce? Because we do it all, whether by land, air, sea, or rail. We have the transportation infrastructure infrastructure in North Kingstown needed to support our varied and unique businesses in growing our local economy. Did you know that NK Chamber membership also includes access to free notary service, free job postings on our website, free townwide gift certificate program participation, and free social media postings? Stop by the Chamber at 8045 Post Road in North Kingstown to learn more about how we can help you and your business succeed and grow, or call us at 401-295-5566. Online at northkingstown.com.
You're sick and wonder if antibiotics can help. Antibiotics can help, but they're not right for every situation. Consumer Reports and the Choosing Wisely campaign suggest asking your doctor a few key questions like, do I really need antibiotics? Antibiotics don't fight viruses like the common cold or sinus infection. Or are there simpler, safer options? Sometimes all you need is rest and plenty of liquids. For other important questions to ask about antibiotics, go to consumerhealthchoices.org/antibiotics.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Happy New Year. Is one of your goals to find a cleaning service for your home or office? I have the perfect solution, Steph Spotless Cleaning. I recently started working with Steph and her crew at both the radio station offices and in my new Portsmouth home. The staff here have been raving about how clean everything is and how personable Steph and her team are. So I decided to give them a try at my house. The results were spectacular. Steph uses an all-natural cleaning product line, and the smell in the house is incredibly fresh and clean. I think this experience for me has been pretty close to the old days of having a cleaning lady, someone who treats my home like it was their own, someone I can trust. I've been through the experience of hiring a service and seeing new faces every time cleaning day came around. Not so with Steph's. She shows up at every job, rolls up her sleeves, and makes the magic. And she's fully bonded and insured. Find Steph Spotless Cleaning on Facebook or contact her today for free consultation and 20% off your first cleaning at 932-6050. That's 932-6050. Steph's Spotless Cleaning.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%, APR 4.36%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. We've earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
It may not feel like it. It may not look like it. But it does look like spring at Ben's Furniture. Stop by soon and see countless new items that have sprouted up at 166 Thames. New sofas in bright and colorful fabrics. New slip-covered sofas in nautical and cottage prints. New bedroom sets. New dinette sets in sizes sure to fit any space. Ben's has new chairs and recliners, new desks, even brand new mattress collections starting at just $3.99 for a queen-size set. Discover new accessories like rugs, pillows, wine racks, and wall prints. About the only thing not new is the long-time Ben's tradition of quality, service, and value. Ben's Furniture, now into their 76th year of serving the Newport County area. Ben's, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 5. Thursday through Saturday, 9 to 6, Sundays, noon to 5. Browse online anytime at bensfern.com.
With today's RM World Travel Minute, I'm Robert Carey. Thanks for tuning in today. If you're a regular listener of our two-hour national weekend show, heard across the country on over 300 stations now, then you know I'm not a big fan of checking luggage. But clearly, sometimes it can't be avoided, especially when you're traveling with families or going abroad. And I'm also not a fan of sitting around airport departure gates. So here's a way to ensure you save time at airports and have your bag arrive first upon landing. Check your bag in last. And if you're asking how this works, well, the last bag checked in is loaded last, and therefore is the first upon landing. This means it's on the first baggage cart and arrives at the carousel with the first batch of luggage. Clearly, the closer you cut the bag check-in to your departure, you do run the risk of missing your flight, but you can improve those odds by flying first or business class or earning a special status with the airline's frequent flyer club, as they'll tag your bag with priority signs. Of course, I still say carry on whenever you can. For more information or to contact us, visit rmworldtravel.com. Safe travels.
And welcome back. What's up, Newport Radio Edition? Final segment here, and let's go to the mailbox here a little bit, because getting lots of information within the last hour. I want to thank Ruth Taylor from Newport Historical Society for joining us again here on the program. There will be a podcast of our conversation, as there are of all of our conversations, on WADK.com in just a short while. And lots of information. Some of it's not breaking news, but it's helpful information to know. Emmanuel Church, let's see here. They run in today to What's Up, Noop. And they say, Emmanuel Church, 166th annual meeting on Sunday, January 28th, yesterday. Emmanuel Church held its 166th annual meeting. Over 60 parishioners heard reports of ministries and plans for new programs and community partnerships. The 2018 budget was reviewed. The congregation elected vestry members Ellen Vadney as senior warden, Annie Sherman as junior warden, Ron Fleming as treasurer, Cynthia Larned as assistant treasurer, and Sarah Atkins for a fifth one-year term as secretary. New members Vicky Hicks, Ken Vanizio, and Mika Sibor joined these officers and vestry members at large. Courtney, let's see here. No contacts today. I don't know what I'm thinking here. Courtney Creamy, Janet Park, and Deb Vanizio for a second full vestry at large term positions. Lots of information. Let's go on to the next thing in the mailbox today. From Leslie down at Siemens Church, please join us at Siemens Church Institute in support of the Choir School of Newport County on Tuesday, February 13th. At 7 p.m., this is a fundraiser for the choir school and will feature a Mardi Gras dessert tasting, choir cabaret, and silent auction. Tickets are $20 per person and are on sale at the door and through the parish office of the Church of St. John, which is located at 61 Poplar Street. Attendance is limited to 80 persons, and they do expect to sell out. For more information, Siemens Church Institute, 847-4260. Again, that is the Siemens Church Institute in support of the choir school, February 13th, and right there in Market Square in Newport. We've got Emmanuel Church again. They are hosting a Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper on Tuesday, February 13th, and that event is taking place from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it's Emmanuel Day School and Emmanuel Church presents Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper. Come and eat up and play some awesome intergenerational games before Lent begins the following day, Ash Wednesday, February 14th. Wow, Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day are the same day. I haven't looked at a calendar and realized that yet. Local leaders awarded Silver Beaver Award. The Narragansett Council Boy Scouts of America held its annual meeting and recognition dinner where several leaders from the community were awarded Silver Beaver Awards. Dinner was held in Vista Mile. I haven't been there in forever. In Swansea, on Thursday, January 25th, Silver Beaver, a Distinguished Service Award, is given to registered adult leaders who have made a profound impact on the lives of youth through service given to the council. This year's 10 recipients are from Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Some of the Rhode Island recipients, or the Rhode Island recipients, is Mary Gail Pine of West Kingston, Robert Coates, Jr. of East Greenwich, Brenda Zanetti of Coventry, William Millett of Cumberland, Warren Ricoletti of North Providence, and Justin Mostart of Portsmouth. Congratulations to all those involved. We continue here to Newport County YMCA. This is all just in the inbox within the last hour that I've been here on the air. Newport County YMCA's Y Girls. Newport County's YMCA's Y Girls present donations to Lucy's Hearth. Although the Jamestown Plunge was canceled, Newport County YMCA's Y Girls insisted on braving the Arctic temperatures on the first day of 2018 to raise money for Lucy's Hearth. They stood outside for hours to sell their beautifully decorated bowls filled with warming chili. Oh, I love chili. On a day that few people ventured out, these girls were able to raise $500. Special thanks to the Y Girls' amazing community advisors, Lynn Roach and Eileen Donnelly, for your unwavering support. On Wednesday, January 31st, the Y Girls will be presenting their donations to Lucy's Hearth. And you are welcome to attend. It is at 3:30 p.m. Congratulations to everybody involved there for raising money for a great organization. Rhode Island Waterfront Events has announced within the last hour that Primus and Mastodon will be at their concert series at Bold Point Park in East Providence on May 26th on the East Providence waterfront. Tom Hockaday checks in with an update from the Point Association. Point Association has raised $13,440 for the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center in the fourth annual neighborhood drive. Let's see here. I'm just waiting for this to open. Point Association Newport capped off its active 2017 year activities with their fourth annual year-end fundraising effort to benefit the MLK Center right here in Newport. Neighbors Association collected over $13,440 in donations from its members and neighbors on the point to help the MLK Center. Since initiating the MLK Center holiday campaign 4 years ago, the Point Association has raised more than $34,200 to help the center to continue and expand the services offered to Newport neighbors in need. $4,700 in 2014, $6,860 in 2016, and $13,440 in 2017. Point Association, the press release says, was proud to show their support, pay tribute to the outstanding work of the MLK Center, and present their check to the center at the Point Association's annual New Year's reception at the Newport Yacht Club. Three representatives of the MLK Center joined the Point residents to accept the donation. Marilyn Warren, Executive Director, Allison Novick, our friend, Director of Development, and Heather Strout, the Assistant Executive Director. Quote, never doubt that the group of thoughtful, committed citizens that comprise the Point Association can change the world. We're both thrilled and humbled by the success of the PA's 2017 fundraising to benefit the MLK Community Center, said Allison Novick from the MLK Center. Congratulations to everybody involved there. Certainly big amount of money that will go a long way in supporting the great mission that is of the MLK Center. One more last update here. Let's see. City of Newport Harbor Master Office has issued a press release within the last few minutes here, and it is about the 2018 King Park and Willow Street Dinghy Rack Lottery. Newport Harbor Master Office will be accepting applications for dinghy kayak rack spaces at the King Park Rack and the Willow Street Rack beginning on February 1st, just a few days away. Unbelievable. And ending on February 28th, the application will be available February 1st online, NewportHarborMaster.com. They will also be available at the Harbor Master office, which is down there at 39 America's Cup Avenue. The lottery is open to Newport residents only. In order to be considered a resident, the applicant must submit a copy of their Newport voter registration card or driver's license with Newport address with their application. All applications must be 18 years of age or older, one application per person and per dinghy kayak. Lottery drawing will take place on Tuesday, March 6th at 9 a.m. at Newport Harbor Master's office. Applicants are welcome to attend the drawing. And if you need more information, you can visit NewportHarborMaster.com or call the Harbor Master office at 401-845-5815. Lots of things in the mailbox. Should make this a daily feature here of the things that fly in there. While we're on the air speaking to our guests, but lots of information there. Of course, I will put all those details on whatsupnoop.com within the next couple hours if you missed any of it, and or you can listen to the podcast again if you prefer to hear me say it, then read it, and the podcast will be up in a short while on WEDK.com. So, again, that's going to do it for us today, and I meant to say again, tomorrow coming up on the program, we will go from history to film. Rebecca Bertrand, the new executive director from Newport Film, will join us on the program. They have a film actually coming up on Wednesday evening, so we'll hear all about that, as well as what 2018 looks for that organization and what goals she has as the new executive director, all coming up tomorrow here on the program. I want to thank you for listening today. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Listen online 24/7 at WADK.com. This is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
If you've got aches, pains, and soreness, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Georgia has to say about Relief Factor.
Over the years, I've had several injuries. I have had lots of pain, and it's been hard for me to exercise. Now I'm much more active, so I'm losing weight, and I feel better. I would recommend